Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is going to be a tough sell. It's the straw I drew for preaching today. Let him deny himself. We don't want to go down that road. Old Adam and Eve resisted. They refused that road in the beginning, denying themselves nothing, seizing what was not given to them, biting into that forbidden notion that they sure knew better than God knew. Self-denial, you gotta be joking. Don't waste your breath, buddy. Self-denial. I mean, can you even hear that in our day and age against all that background noise of self-indulgence and self-absorption and self-gratification and self-satisfaction? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Words like that cut against the grain. We're already looking for a way out. So let's make it figurative or spiritual. Deny yourself spiritually. Take up your spiritual cross. That'd be convenient. We could carry on business as usual on Monday through Saturday, even a little on Sunday afternoon. Hey, deny yourselves nothing but a sweet hour or two of prayer, a little self-denial, a little spiritual cross-bearing, maybe a tear or two into a lace hanky. If anyone carries hankies anymore, a clothing hymn, off we go. Well, where would we be if Jesus had taken up just a figurative spiritual cross instead of a wooden one with real nails? I could tell you one thing, we sure wouldn't be here this morning. You probably heard the saying, no guts, no glory. Today's gospel says it differently. No cross, no glory, no death, no resurrection. If you try to save your life on your own terms, you're going to lose your life forever. If you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you'll find it. That's the chewy paradox at the heart of the gospel. No cross, no forgiveness, no life, no salvation. This passage here in Matthew is the beginning of the Lord's decisive turn toward Jerusalem. Until now, you know, it's been kind of fun to follow Jesus, watching him kick demons around, heal sick people, run rings around the Pharisees and all those religious hotshots, parables, feeding thousands with a handful of loaves, a few fish, walking on water, stilling storms. I mean, who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? Crowds flock to him. You would have too. So would I. We love this kind of stuff. PowerPoints, miracles, ecstasies, crowds. That's what draws the mega mobs on Sunday mornings. We'd all be there too, soaking it in, wanting more of it. It's good, Lord, to be here. Last week we heard that Jesus was going to put the keys of heaven right into the hands of Peter the fisherman. Wow, imagine that. The power to loose and bind in the hands of a mere man. You'd almost want to make him the number one guy or something like that. Power, glory, majesty, religion thrives on it. We crave it like a drug. Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah of Israel, and the Son of the living God. You heard him! And that was the turning point for Jesus, the start of his long, slow turn toward Jerusalem. From that time on, he began to explain to his disciples what it meant for him to be the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. In a word, the cross. He will suffer at the hands of the religious, be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, you heard it, objected forcefully, violently, predictably. God forbid, Lord, what are you saying? There's no way to conduct a revolution. This must never happen to you. Those aren't God words. Those are Satan words. A hindrance, a stumbling stone in Jesus' path. Certainly not the way God thinks, but it sure is the way you and I think. I mean, have you ever found yourself somewhat embarrassed by all this bloody talking of crosses and crucifixion and sacrifice? I mean, I don't know, maybe you kind of are somebody that you kind of wish we didn't have a cross up here in the chancel. I mean, all this talk about the cross and crucifixion, bad for business, some say. You sometimes wish we could maybe keep all this cross talking confined to one Friday and then get on to the good stuff. But brothers and sisters, the cross is the only thing the devil really fears. That is the one thing Satan did not want Jesus to have, anything but the cross. The devil tried to subvert the cross, tempting Jesus to turn stones into bread, to feed his hunger, to prove himself by jumping from the temple to bow down and worship in exchange for power and majesty, anything but the cross. The devil was the one who back in Eden's garden overcame by a tree, the tempting tree of knowing good and evil. But Satan knew that he would be overcome by the tree of the cross. He knew it. And he even tried using Peter, the confessor, to get in the way. Satan knew that the sacrifice of the perfect humanity of Jesus would satisfy all the demands of God's law. Satan knew that his dirty little lie would be shoved into the pit of hell by Jesus' dying word, "It is finished." Satan knew that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, would cleanse the world of sin. He knew that death and the grave could not hold the body of Jesus. The devil knew that in the cross of Jesus, God's law would be zipped up silent. Sin atoned for, death undone, hell vanquished. Satan knew all this, and that damned angel of darkness shuddered with fear. The devil doesn't want you anywhere near the cross. He couldn't stop Jesus, but maybe he can mess with you a little bit. Get you to think that you have to atone for your own sins a little bit, maybe, just a little bit. Get you to doubt that maybe you aren't as forgiven as that short, balding preacher says you are. Get you to doubt that that baptismal water can do much of anything in your stinking messed up life, or that the Lord's Supper is nothing more than a sentimental symbolic reminder of what Jesus did a long time ago on a hill far away. Satan would love to get your eyes off the real deal, off of Jesus crucified. He wants you gazing at yourself, looking at your walk and your talk. And maybe, just maybe, get you to think that somehow you can avoid the cross and avoid your own death and hang on to your life on your own terms. Resist him by standing firm in the faith of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus still says that on your behalf too. He washed you clean in the water. And by His word, nobody else's, His word, He proclaimed that you are a child of God. So get behind me, Satan. Every time you lay your sins and your life at the foot of the cross, you kick the devil. The devil hates it when you trust Jesus and hang on for dear life to His cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. It's time for that Lutheran question. What does this mean? Deny yourself. Become nothing. Wir sind alle Bettler. We are, in the words of last breath Luther, we are all beggars. Take up your cross. Drop dead. That's what crosses do. They kill. Die to yourself, says Jesus. Follow me. Where? Where Jesus leads. Through death and resurrection to eternal life. It's not about your self-improvement. It's not about rehabbing the sinner. It's about dying and rising. What good, after all, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own life? How dumb that is, and yet people try it all the time. Who knows, maybe you too, trying it even now to gain life on your own terms. Give it up! What could you possibly exchange for your miserable life? The answer is nothing. You have nothing to give. Wir sind alle Bettler. Don't despair, though. The glory of the cross is that Jesus gave His life in exchange for your life. In fact, He gave His life in exchange for the life of the world. One perfect, holy, sinless, spotless life for you in your place. Let's use a little lousy English. You are died for. So take up the cross that Jesus gives you. You have nothing to lose and a whole life to gain. Follow Jesus. Where you are going, He's already gone, and He's already taken you along for the ride. That may sound a bit strange, I know, but that's the paradox of losing in order to find. You see, the life you lose isn't worth saving. A life of sin and death and hell. No life, really. No life at all. The life you have, though, the life you have in Jesus, it's life in abundance. Life that overflows the cup. An eternity full of life. I have come that you may have just that, says Jesus, life. Losing to find, dying to live, denying to gain. That's the way of the cross, the way of Jesus, the way of life. His way with you in the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.